The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's a day of abstinence. No meat today. Good morning. I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Friday, March 18th, 2022, Friday of the second week of Lent. In the Missal, it's a liturgical year C, cycle 2. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the commemoration of St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Born in 315, raised in Jerusalem, well-educated, ordained a priest, and given the task during Lent of catechizing those preparing for baptism, and then catechizing the newly baptized during the Easter season. Now, there are conflicting reports about his becoming Bishop of Jerusalem. He was validly consecrated by bishops of the province, but conflict soon rose. Cyril was summoned to a council, accused of insubordination and of selling church property to relieve the poor. He was condemned, driven from Jerusalem, but later vindicated. Half of his episcopate was spent in exile. He finally returned to find Jerusalem torn with heresy, schism, and strife. Even St. Gregory of Nyssa, who was sent to help, left in despair. They both went to the Council of Constantinople, where the amended form of the Nicene Creed was promulgated. Bishops of the council praised Cyril as a champion of orthodoxy against the Arians. St. Cyril of Jerusalem died in 386. St. Cyril, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O God, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray for Christians facing new bioethical challenges. May they continue to defend the dignity of all human life with prayer and action. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Jesus, as we spend this time of prayer with you today, coming to the end of our second week of Lent, this Friday, the second week of Lent, we are confronted today with the parable of the wicked tenants of the vineyard. And they're wicked. It could also be called the parable of just the really foolish tenants who are totally not taking advantage of the good situation that they've been given. We read in the Gospel of Mass today that our Lord says, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower." And now this story of a vineyard, this is something that many of the people, particularly the elders and the chief priests, and the people would have heard. They know when we're telling stories about vineyards, this goes back to the fifth chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is the song of the vineyard of the Lord. And so it'd be similar to today if you started a story with, once upon a time or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that people kind of have a sense of there's a particular story that's supposed to come after that, and they're ready for it. Usually about the vineyard not doing what it's supposed to, but here we get a twist that this landowner builds this vineyard and does all the work himself, but then leases it to tenants and goes away on a journey. You know, you build a house, a brand new house, and you put all this work into it. And then you put it on VBRO, VRBO, right? Or you put it on any of these rental sites, and you don't even live in it. you right away just start renting out this beautiful house that you built for yourself. And so these people come in, these tenants, and they're living in someone else's vineyard, and they're supposed to be taking care of it and producing fruit. But for whatever reason, when the vineyard owner asks for fruit, and he sends, you know, some servants for the fruit, the tenants, the renters, they react in this terrible way, right? The tenant sees the servants and they beat one, they killed another, and they stoned a third. So then the owner sends even more servants, more numerous than the first, and they treated them in the same way. And so he just wants to get the fruit from these tenants who are proving themselves totally foolish or wicked. And so he sends his son, finally saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they say to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." And they seized him and threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. They're digging their pit just deeper and deeper and deeper. And so our Lord asks, what will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes? And the crowd answers, he'll put those wretched men to a wretched death. And then he's going to rent the vineyard to some other tenants who are going to give him the produce at the proper time. And our Lord is telling this story for the chief priests and the elders, who in a very short period of time, we're already in this scene, this time period in the Gospel of Matthew, in a very short period of time, even within the week, are going to do exactly this to the Son of God. But what we see of the very foolish tenants of the vineyard is the spiral of sin, that one sin just commits another and then leads to another and another. And it's just this downward spiral of sin. And we don't know why. We don't know why the tenants acted this way. Did they think that they wanted to keep the fruit from for themselves? That if they just get to, they're going to keep the vineyard all for themselves if they manage to kill these servants? Or rather, in a way to pray with this passage, Lord, here in your presence, is maybe there was no fruit. Maybe these tenants who should have been taking care of the vineyard and producing fruit, maybe there was just no fruit there. Maybe they had wasted, squandered the opportunity. And so when the servants show up looking to collect, there's nothing. There's nothing to give them. And so rather than apologizing, rather than being honest, they beat and kill the servants. And it's a spiral of sin, that one bad action, one way or another, we think that we're going to get out of it by another bad action, and then another foolish action. There's a concept in the game of chess of going full tilt, and I think that's also in other forms of cards or gambling or whatever. But in chess, when you make a bad move, you blunder a piece, you lose some piece, usually without getting anything in return, you make a really bad move, and then all of a sudden, basically, the game's over in your mind. And so you just start making more bad moves. And what could have been a really good, careful game up to that point, just with one blunder, you just basically give up. And now we're going to trade this piece and trade that piece. And you're going to lose because you go full tilt, not trying to acknowledge the mistake, but still pull the best out of it. Rather just thinking, okay, I'm done. I've already lost, and so I'm just going to make more bad decisions. And that's what happens in sin, that we maybe make one bad decision, whether it's negligence, whether there's no fruit, or whether it's an actual evil action. And then we just think, okay, well, I need to do another bad action, and then another bad action, another bad action. As children, we learn, many of us may have learned the tale of the of the woman, and learning why we have to be very careful what we end up eating. Because I remember growing up and hearing a tale of this woman who swallowed a fly, and then to catch the fly, she swallowed a spider, and then to catch the spider, she swallowed a bird, and then to catch the bird, a cat, to catch the cat, a dog, she ended up swallowing a goat, thinking that would get the dog somehow. A cow, And then finally a horse. And that's pretty much the end of her life. And it's just the foolishness of, you know, we learn this as children, but you swallow a fly, leave it there. Don't go for the spider after that. But this is what we do when we sin. We think, okay, I've already committed one sin, one little fly. And so I'll swallow a spider too, you know, and then I'll swallow a bird. And I'm just going to get worse and worse and worse because whatever, I've already sinned. And in this, Jesus, you tell us, you're calling us to repentance. You're telling this for the chief priests and the elders, because even now in Holy Week, when this story is being told, it's not too late for them to repent. All these tenants had to do, Jesus, is at some point, especially when the Son shows up, to just apologize. Here's what we did. Here's what we've done. Come now. Stop all this nonsense. When we start down a bad path, we shouldn't go full tilt. We shouldn't just kind of give up. Rather, stop this nonsense. It's never too late. Even if we would otherwise be just days away from going all the way down the path of sin, it's not too late. Hours away, even minutes away. It's never too late, Jesus. You offer us always redemption. You offer a very redemption to the elders and the chief priests that are going to try to put you to death and will put you to death in just a few days' time because you're that good to us. You're that consistently trying to get us to love you and to turn to you. Maybe at this point in Lent, it may not be a full down the path of sin, but maybe we have no fruit at this point in Lent. Maybe our Lent has been fruitless. We've given up on our resolutions. And so it's, you know, rather than trying to make more excuses and rather trying to just change our penances altogether, well, come now, stop this nonsense. Jesus, we could start right today. Nunc cepi. Begin right now. And so, Jesus, we want to begin now, today. You always offer us redemption, and we just need to turn to you in redemption. We ask our mother to help us. Mary, help us today, right now, to not go down the path of lies and sin, but rather to always stay close to the mercy of your Son. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
More of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. 16 past the hour on Daybreak. Be sure to join us next Friday for the live broadcast of Pope Francis' consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the meantime, this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's pray with the whole church now. We join the whole church as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas. On the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Lord, in your anger, do not punish me.
Lord, in your anger, do not punish me.
O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me.
Through your anger, all my body is sick. Through my sin, there is no health in my limbs. My guilt towers higher than my head. It is a weight too heavy to bear.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, in your anger, do not punish me.
Lord, you know all my longings.
Lord, you know all my longings.
My wounds are foul and festering, the result of my own folly. I am bowed and brought to my knees. I go mourning all the day long.
All my frame burns with fever. All my body is sick, spent, and utterly crushed. I cry aloud in anguish of heart.
O Lord, you know all my longing. My groans are not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength is spent. The very light has gone from my eyes.
My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand afar off. Those who plot against my life lay snares. Those who seek my ruin speak of harm, planning treachery all the day long.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, you know all my longings.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
But I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the dumb unable to speak. I am like a man who hears nothing, in whose mouth is no defense.
I count on you, O Lord. It is you, Lord God, who will answer. I pray, do not let them mock me, those who triumph, if my foot should slip.
For I am on the point of falling, and my pain is always before me. I confess that I am guilty, and my sin fills me with dismay.
My wanton enemies are numberless, and my lying foes are many. They repay me evil for good, and attack me for seeking what is right.
O Lord, do not forsake me. My God, do not stay afar off. Make haste and come to my help. O Lord, my God, my Savior.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now,
and will be forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Do not abandon us, Lord, our God. You did not forget the broken body of your Christ, nor the mockery his love received. We, your children, are weighed down with sin. Give us the fullness of your mercy.
I confess my guilt to you, Lord. Do not abandon me, for you are my Savior.
Turn back to the Lord your God. He is kind and merciful.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In the third month after their departure from the land of Egypt, on its first day, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people, though the whole earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That is what you must tell the Israelites." So Moses went and summoned the elders of the people. When he set before them all that the Lord had ordered him to tell them, the people all answered together, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Then Moses brought back to the Lord the response of the people. The Lord also told him, "I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking with you, they may always have faith in you also." When Moses then had reported to the Lord the response of the people, the Lord added, "Go to the people and have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Make them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Set limits for the people all around the mountain and tell them, take care not to go up the mountain or even to touch its base. If anyone touches the mountain, he must be put to death. No hand shall touch him. He must be stoned to death or killed with arrows. Such a one, man or beast, must not be allowed to live. Only when the ram's horn resounds, may they go up to the mountain." Then Moses came down from the mountain to the people and had them sanctify themselves and wash their garments. He warned them, "Be ready for the third day. Have no intercourse with any woman." On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking, and God answering him with thunder. When the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the trumpet blast, and the mountain smoking, they all feared and trembled. So they took up a position much farther away and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, or we shall die." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. For God has come to you only to test you and put his fear upon you, lest you should sin." Still, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the cloud where God was. "If you do what I tell you and keep my covenant, out of all the nations you will be my own possession, dearer to me than any other people. You shall be to me
a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people God has claimed as his own. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation.
From the Treatise Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus, Bishop. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, "The Lord your God made a covenant on Horeb. He made this covenant not with your fathers, but with you." Why did God make this covenant with their fathers? Because the law is not aimed at the righteous. Their fathers were righteous. They had the power of the Decalogue implanted in their hearts and in their souls. That is, they love the God who made them and did nothing unjust against their neighbor. For this reason, they did not need to be admonished by written rebukes. They had the righteousness of the law in their hearts. When this righteousness and love for God had passed into oblivion and been extinguished in Egypt, God had necessarily to reveal himself through his own voice out of his great love for men. He led the people out of Egypt in power, so that man might once again become God's disciple and follower. He made them afraid as they listened, to warn them not to hold their Creator in contempt. He fed them with manna that they might receive spiritual food. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, "He fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that you might understand that man will not live by bread alone, but will live by every word of God coming from the mouth of God." He commanded them to love himself and train them to practice righteousness toward their neighbor, so that man might not be unrighteous or unworthy of God. Through the Decalogue, he prepared man for friendship with himself and for harmony with his neighbor. This was to man's advantage, though God needed nothing from man. This raised man to glory, for it gave him what he did not have, friendship with God. But it brought no advantage to God, for God did not need man's love. Man did not possess the glory of God, nor could he attain it by any other means than through obedience to God. This is why Moses said to the people, "Choose life, that you may live and your descendants too. Love the Lord your God, hear his voice, and hold fast to him, for this is life for you and length of days." This was the life that the Lord was preparing man to receive when he spoke in person and gave the words of the Decalogue for all alike to hear. These words remain with us as well. They were extended and amplified through his coming in the flesh, but not annulled. God gave to the people separately through Moses the commandments that enslave. These were precepts suited to their instruction or their condemnation. As Moses said, "The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you precepts of righteousness and of judgment." The precepts that were given them to enslave and to serve as a warning have been canceled by the new covenant of freedom. The precepts that belong to man's nature and to freedom and to all alike have been enlarged and broadened. Through the adoption of sons, God had enabled man so generously and bountifully to know him as Father, to love him with his whole heart, and to follow his word unfailingly. Moses, the servant of the Lord, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights
to prepare himself to receive the law of the Lord.
Moses went up Mount Sinai to the Lord and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights
to prepare himself to receive the law of the Lord. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that purifying us by the sacred practice of penance, you may lead us in sincerity of heart to attain the holy things to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
22 minutes before the hour on Daybreak, we'll take a look at today's Gospel in Conversation with God and pray morning prayer in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Friday, March 18th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, it's the parable of the wicked tenants from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew.
Hear another parable. There was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants and went into another country. When the season of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. The tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?
He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons.
Have you never read in the scriptures? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it.
When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. But when they tried to arrest him, they feared the multitudes because they held him to be a prophet.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. A lot of special graces are available to us during the season of Lent, so it's really a very good time to make an extra effort to conquer sin. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. The effort of personal conversion which the Lord asks of us is an effort for each day of our lives. But in special periods or situations, as in Lent, we receive special graces which we ought to make use of. This liturgical season is an extraordinary occasion for us to develop to a maximum the struggle against sin and to increase in ourselves the life of grace with good works. To understand better the malice of sin, we have to contemplate what Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. In the agony of Gethsemane, we see him suffering the indescribable. For our sake, he made himself to be sin, who knew no sin, says St. Paul. He burdened himself with all the atrocities we have committed until his body ran with sweat of blood. Jesus, alone and sad, suffers and soaks the earth with his blood. Kneeling on the hard ground, he perseveres in prayer. He weeps for you and for me. The weight of the sins of men overwhelms him. It is a scene we should often recall, but especially when temptations get more severe. Our Lord has called us to holiness, for us to love with deeds. And on the approach we adopt towards deliberate venial sin will depend the progress we make in our interior life. For when we do not struggle to avoid venial sins, or when there is not enough contrition for them, they damage the soul grievously. These venial sins make the soul insensitive to the inspirations and motions of the Holy Spirit. They weaken the life of grace and make the virtues more difficult to practice and incline one towards mortal sin. Many pious souls, says a present-day author, are in an unfaithful state almost continuously as regards little things. They are impatient, hardly charitable in their thoughts, judgments, and words. False in their conversations and attitudes, slow and lax in their piety, they don't control themselves and are excessively frivolous in their language, or treat the good name of their neighbor lightly. They know their own defects and infidelities and perhaps even accuse themselves in confession, but they do not seriously repent of them, nor do they make use of the means to avoid them in the future. They do not realize that each one of these imperfections is like a leaden weight that drags them down. They do not realize that they are beginning to think in a purely human way and to work only for human reasons, or that they habitually resist the inspirations of grace and misuse them. The soul thus loses the splendor of its true beauty, and God is increasingly distanced from it. Little by little, the soul loses contact with God. In Him, it does not see a loving and lovable Father to whom it should give itself with filial affection. Something has been allowed to place itself between the two. This is the beginning of the road to lukewarmness. In a committed fight to banish all sin from our lives, we will show our Lord our love and our readiness to correspond with His grace. How sad you make me feel when you are not sorry for your venial sins, for until you are, you will not begin to live a real interior life. Let us ask Our Lady to grant us a loathing not only for mortal sin, but also for deliberate venial sin. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 13 minutes before the hour, we pray now with the whole church. We're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, and I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God, but a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
O Lord, I have heard your renown and feared, O Lord, your work. In the course of the years, revive it. In the course of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember compassion.
God comes from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Covered are the heavens with his glory, and with his praise the earth is filled.
His splendor spreads like the light. Rays shine forth from beside him, where his power is concealed. You come forth to save your people, to save your anointed one.
You tread the sea with your steeds amid the churning of the deep waters. I hear, and my body trembles. At the sound, my lips quiver.
Decay invades my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. I await the day of distress that will come upon the people who attack us.
For though the fig tree blossom not, nor fruit be on the vines, though the yield of the olive fail and the terraces produce no nourishment, though the flocks disappear from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord and exult in my saving God.
God, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet swift as those of hinds and enables me to go upon the heights.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Even in your anger, Lord, you will remember compassion.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God.
He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow, white as wool. He scatters hoarfrost by gashes.
He hurls down hailstones like crumb. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow.
He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, you established peace within the borders of Jerusalem. Give the fullness of peace now to your faithful people. May peace rule us in this life and possess us in eternal life. You are about to fill us with the best of wheat. Grant that what we see dimly now as in a mirror, we may come to perceive clearly in the brightness of your truth.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide spoils with the mighty, because he has surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. And he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
He will bring those evil men to an evil end and entrust his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the harvest at the proper season.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
He will bring those evil men to an evil end and entrust his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the harvest at the proper season. Let us pray to Christ our Savior, who redeemed us by his death and resurrection.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You went up to Jerusalem to suffer, and so entered into your glory.
Bring your church to the Passover feast of heaven.
Lord, have mercy on us. You were lifted high on the cross and pierced by the soldier's lance.
Heal our wounds.
Lord, have mercy on us. You made the cross the tree of life.
Give its fruit to those reborn in baptism.
Lord, have mercy on us. On the cross you forgave the repentant thief.
Forgive us our sins.
Lord, have mercy on us. And to these intercessions we pause to add the prayers of our own hearts.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Now let us pray as Christ the Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that purifying us by the sacred practice of penance, you may lead us in sincerity of heart to attain the holy things to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Join Drew Mariani this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central as the Novena for Peace continues. Morning Air is up next. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the app. You go out, make it a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.